Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the White Oak campus of Brick City Church. How's everybody doing this morning? Good? Awesome. Well, if I haven't had the opportunity to meet you yet, I'm Pastor Nick. I'm the campus pastor here at the White Oak campus of Brick City Church, and I'm so excited. There's no place I'd rather be than right here with you all, worshiping God and praising His name. As a matter of fact, there's four locations I'd like to be, and that's White Oak, North Braddock, Brighton Heights, and Murraysville, because we're one church in four locations, and I'll take that a step further. There's five locations. I'll take here or heaven. How's that sound? Okay, because we're all living for eternity. We're not living for just here and now, and we're wrapping up our series today entitled Divine Privilege, and I think it's perfect that Cassidy got to speak and share her story with us because she was talking all about purpose. And she was sharing the fact that she was something and now she is something. And Cassidy and Ken were sitting in the second row during our first worship experience. And I'm sad to share that they won't be able to walk with us in the Memorial Day parade this year. And that's because they're getting married this coming weekend. And they'll be on their honeymoon. And so we're gonna make sure that we go find some more Cassidy and Kens on Monday, okay? Because there's going to be tons of Cassidys and Kens that need an invite and need a Turner's tea handed to them because people are really open to being handed the champagne of Pittsburgh and then an invite to church. But people have been asking me, what's the privilege we're going to learn about today? What are we going to talk about? What's the privilege that we're going to talk about? We've been unpacking a lot. We've been learning a lot of privileges we get to walk in as sons and daughters of Christ. And listen, today is all about one thing, that we live a life that is fully alive in Christ. All the privileges we've talked about the past week lead to today. And the fact that those privileges are given to us so that we could live a life fully alive. Not partially alive, not a little bit alive, not on life support, not just ticking away. No, fully alive in Christ. And are we doing life with Him? For Him? Or are we just having Him on the side? Listen, I'm not about sides. I'm about the main course. I'm a barbecue guy. I don't really care about the mac and cheese, the coleslaw, the baked beans. I want the brisket, the ribs, the pulled pork. I want the main stuff. I want Jesus to be the main part of my life. I want Jesus to be the thing, the person that makes you fully alive. So let's talk about this. This is what I want you to be able to understand when you leave here today. I want you to clearly be able to state who you used to be. Because that's what the Divine Privilege series has been all about. Getting you to understand who you are in Christ and getting you to talk about who you used to be. I used to be a scared, depressed, broken little boy who felt as though he would never amount to anything and he would either be dead or in jail. That his life would always be a facade. This is as good as it gets. But a little thing happened that we'll get to later. I want you all, when you leave today, you understand the statement that you've heard me say probably 1,000 times if you've been around me. If you've asked me, Pastor Nick, how are you doing? And my response is, better than I deserve. I didn't come up with that statement. I borrowed it from somebody else. And I want you to borrow it from me. You know what? You don't even have to borrow it. You can have it. Because if you can understand the statement better than I deserve, you're starting to walk in divine privilege. because we all deserve something way worse than what we're walking in, because we're walking in the privilege of knowing who we are in Christ. And I want us to be walking fully in it, a life fully alive in Christ. Our launching verse every single week of this series, Ephesians 1, verse 3. We're not going to stop it. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. If you haven't gotten it yet, I want you to catch it. If this is your first week, I want you to write this down, because this is for here and now. It's not for heaven. It's for here now. We get to walk in divine privileges, resources available now. We get to have grace and peace to be children of God. We get to walk in a portion of our inheritance now. There's more. Wait, there's more. God tells us that there's more, but here's a little taste for now, just to wet your whistle. Sealed by the Holy Spirit, holy and blameless, sealed and guaranteed, a part of Jesus' church. Those are divine privileges. Those are the spiritual blessings that we get. Those are the launching point of our series. Those are the ending points of our series. If we can catch that, it's a done deal. Signed, sealed, delivered. I'm His. Remixing Stevie Wonder all day. Who's Jesus writing to? Who is Jesus using Paul to write to in Ephesians? Us! The saints, those who have been redeemed. If you've received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you've been redeemed. You've been bought back. Think about those Coke bottles back in the day that said 10 cents if you take it back somewhere. Redemption, right? If you take that bottle back, you get 10 cents. You're a bottle. Jesus wanted you. I'll pay for that. He redeemed you. He bought you back. He paid the price. He made you a saint. Not because of anything that you did. I'm a saint. You're a saint. Going through a process of sanctification. You're not fully there yet. It's a process. But you're fully redeemed. You're justified. You're forgiven. You got all that. Sanctification, some of you are still a little bit farther behind on the process, but you're getting there. One step at a time. Every day you should be closer to Jesus and more saintly. So, that's who Paul's writing to. That's who Jesus is helping Paul to write to in Ephesians. And this is not a corrective text. He's not trying to correct us. He's trying to correct, to show the church of Ephesus how to walk as saints, how to conduct their lives, what they need to catch. And we're going to Ephesians 2 today, 1 through 10, where we're going to spend all of our time. And if you're in your Bible, I ask people to bring their real Bibles this week. If you got your real Bible, hold it up. You're going to get a prize. Here's your prize. I got a great story in the third row. She went home, looked for her Bible. She couldn't find it. She found her mother's Bible that her mom gave to her. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful Bible. The story, the legacy that's in that Bible. And now she gets to flip through those pages. Beautiful story. But in your Bible, there's probably a heading that says, made fully alive in Christ. That's what these 10 verses are about. Let's read the first verse in Ephesians 2. Once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins. Wait a second, Pastor. I thought we were talking about being alive. But first, we need to talk about how you were dead. Because if you don't know where you've been, we can't talk about where you're going and where you're at. So let's talk about your past for a little bit, because we all got one. Some of your translations, some of your Bible might say, because of your many trespasses. We've all trespassed. We've all sinned. Every single one of us. We've all been disobedient. Let's just get that clear. We've all been separated from God. So what does this trespassing mean? Let's put it clear. I'm all about perspective and making things clear for us. I like things simple. I'm not stupid, but I like simple. How many of you have ever seen a no trespassing sign? Now, for me, as a kid, BC, before Christ, that was just an invitation. I'm just being real. In the church, tell the truth, I'm ashamed of the devil. That was a wonder what's behind that sign. Right? All of us have gone a little bit farther than we should have gone. Every single one of us trespassed. It's in our nature. We were all disobedient. It's who we are. We all went and separated ourselves from God. We went where we weren't supposed to go. We were dead. We crossed the boundaries that God put before us, and we went where we should not have gone. We all made whoopsies. We went back and we looked over on the other side of that sign and we tried to get back. We were like, ah, man. Should have listened to the sign. Wrong turn. If you look up the word trespass, if you look it up, it's pronounced I can't even say it. I can't speak it, but I'm going to try. Can I try? Here we go. Paraptoma. If you look it up, the Strong's number is 3900. And the definition is properly to fall away after being close beside. From the truth, an error, a little slip up, wrongdoing that can be relatively unconscious, non-deliberate. We were close to God. We were created to be close to Him. We were created to be in paradise with Him. But we saw the sign and we were so curious and we wanted to see what's on the other side. And then we slipped up. Whoopsie. And we went where we shouldn't have gone. And we sinned, we rebelled, we failed, we separated ourselves from God, which is sin. And it killed us. Not physically, but spiritually. We became spiritually dead. So let's look at what the Bible says about what it means to be spiritually dead. Our description before Christ. I want you to take a picture of this. I want you to write it down. Because if you don't know where you've been, you can't know where you're going, and you have no idea what God's doing. So write it down, take a picture, do whatever you need to do. But I want you to read these verses. You're blind. You can't see. That's 2 Corinthians 4, 3 and 4. You're a slave to sin. Sin was your boss. Sin told you what to do. Sin was your master. Some of us in this room, we may still be here. And that's okay. Because we're going to have a moment where this doesn't have to be you anymore. And we're going to talk about that. And you're here for a reason. And there's no condemnation in this room, and we're going to talk about that. You're a lover of darkness, John 3, 19 through 20. What does that mean? You like being that person that's hiding in the alley. Darkness doesn't like light. Sick, Mark 2, 17. Lost, Luke 15. An alien, a stranger, a foreigner, Ephesians 2, 12, 2, 19. A child of wrath. I don't know about you, but I don't like that definition being put on me. I don't like that being put on you. I don't like that being put on anyone outside of these walls. I like the definition of child of God way better. Under the power of darkness, Colossians 1, 3. These are the verses. This is what the Word of God says about you before Christ. You have a story. Every one of us has a story. Every one of us has felt purposeless. I felt purposeless. I felt like I had peaked at a young age and that was it. It's done. But I have purpose now. The guilt and shame is gone. It's under the cross. It's covered by the blood of Jesus. I'm done trying to earn anything. We were dead. Let's go to verses 2 through 3. You used to live in sin, just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers in the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. All of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. By our very nature, we were subject to God's anger just like everyone else. Listen, you used to live that way. You used to be like the rest of the world. But there should be a contrast now. There should be a shift in your life. There's God's way and there's the world's way. And there should be a delineage in your life between the two. You should see it and people around you should see it. There should be a difference now in the way that you live. There should have been a shift. And we need to recognize that there's a spirit at work in those who disobey, and there's a spirit at work in those who obey. We get to choose which spirit we want. We have a sin nature. We have inclinations to sin. You don't have to try to sin. It's in your nature. We all have a flesh. Every single one of us. There are three things that we're going to battle. Three things. Y'all want to know them? The enemy. We have victory over him, though, because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross. Amen? The world. But Jesus tells us that we're supposed to be in the world, but not of it. Right? The world's not supposed to dictate our actions, but Jesus does. So we have a way to battle that. Amen? Amen? The third thing is our flesh. If you can figure out a way to get rid of your flesh before you go to heaven, you let me know. We'll write a book. We'll make tons of money. We'll build a new building. The church will be great. It'll be. But you can't get rid of your flesh. Paul tried. Why do I know what is right, but I continue to do what is wrong? That's the man that was used to write a majority of the New Testament. And he said that. You have a sin nature. I have a sin nature. We don't have to try to sin. We have to fight that. I'm going to be real with you in church. I had an incident last night. I almost let out 17 and a half years of flesh on the guy. And he didn't even know it. But I had to hold it all in. 17 and a half years of flesh almost came out on Rick at the wedding that I worked last night. Top five wedding. I DJ weddings. I've been doing it for 10 years. If you want. Anyways, Jesus loved weddings. I love weddings. I DJ weddings. Great. Top five wedding of all time. Families were great. Bride was great. Groom was great. Their family was phenomenal. They had family in from Poland on two-week visas. I mean, you want to see a bridal dance. Dun, 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 dun. They polka like you never polka'd before. You thought Pittsburghers polka'd. You used to see some Polish people from Poland polka. Whew. Pittsburgh ain't got nothing on Polish people from Poland here on two-week visas. They went hard. It was awesome. But listen, I knew I wasn't going to get home till 2 in the morning, had to load a trailer, 90 degrees in a barn. I can't wait till that fad's over and there's a new fad of weddings in air-conditioned factories. I can't wait. It's coming. Okay? I had to wait my turn to get my trailer in to back it up. We finally get loaded. There's a box truck. I have to back up. I back my trailer up 1 foot too far into a planter. I hit the planter. I falls over, I pull forward, I stick my head out the window. Hey, I know I hit something, I'll be right out. Rick starts screaming. Rick's angry. I get out of the car, hey, I hit that, I'm so sorry. Some choice words. I said, Rick, calm down, I'll make it right. Some choice words about DJs. I'm like, I'm not those DJs, I'm this DJ trying to help. That's a $200 planter, blah, blah. The bride's dad had just handed me $200. I pull the $200. Rick, I'm going to make it right. Here's $200. And he's still going. And I almost, 17 and a half years of flesh almost came out. I said, Rick, I'm trying to make it right. And he took the $200. He said, I'm sorry. I worked 15 hours. I was like, Rick, I worked 15 hours too, and I'm getting ready to drive home. I won't be home till 2. We good? He said, yeah, we're good. I left. Patrick said, why didn't you load the planter up? If I wasn't so tired, I had to tell my flesh to get behind me, right? My sin, because I almost turned the trailer around and went back and picked up that planter. Because that's my planter now. And I knew what would have happened. He would have said the tree that was in the planter cost $100. And my flesh told me just take the tree out and throw it. Because I'm Rick, I don't want the tree. That's my planter, though. We have to be able to tell our flesh to get behind us. That story now brings joy and peace and laughter, and it's an example used to build the kingdom. God will turn everything to good for those who love him. But in the moment, it's a split-second decision. Men, that's why we're having the men's night on June 5th. Because you need men in your life that are going to teach you how to do that and how to walk that out and how to be a man of character. Because character has nothing to do with what you look like when you're around all these guys. Because Patrick was in the car. I was by myself with Rick. None of you would have known what happened with Rick. You get what I'm throwing? Rick felt froggy, and I was about to leap. But character has been ingrained in my heart because of the men of God that have been placed in my life that have shown me how to do that. Men, I'm not telling you to come and eat nachos and tacos and taquitos and jalapenos and hit the piñata. I'm telling you to come and be encouraged, equipped, empowered, and challenged. Because you don't need to try to sin. You need to fight not to. And you can't fight by yourself. And you need a man in your life. Some of you in this room need to hear this. I don't care how old you are. You need to hear this. You're a man now. It's time to act like a man of God. You used to do this. You used to be like this, but not anymore. It's time to put the video games down. It's time to get around a father in your life that's going to show you how to be a father. It's time to get around some grandfathers that are going to show you how to be a pappy. I lost my pappy this week. We lost a campus pappy this week. One of the members of Bridge City Church. He taught a lot of men in this room how to finish the race. We're going to celebrate his life today from 2 to 7 at Gilbert's. We're going to celebrate it again tomorrow at 10 a.m. here. It's time to get around some men that are going to show you how to walk it out. Our sin nature, our old lives were corrupt in every aspect. Our motives were governed by the ways of the world. Our king was the ruler of a kingdom ruled by Satan. Our company was those who were disobedient, sons of disobedience, which describes all of those who don't know God. Our lifestyles were living like those that don't believe. Our destiny was that we were going to be subjected to the wrath of God. Listen, God doesn't just forgive us. He fully cleanses us. There's a lot of people that receive forgiveness, but they don't get cleansed of their past, washed clean. Listen, I haven't just been rescued from my past. I haven't just been pulled out. I've been redeemed. The people that I'm looking at in this room that are fully alive, they know the price that was paid for them, and they're bragging about it. I know how rich I am because of the people in my life that told me of my inheritance. If we're stumbling over our past, you're walking in the wrong direction. Shouldn't be getting tripped up over your past. If you are, you're walking backwards. In order to fully understand what we do have in Christ, you have to understand what you were. Don't forget where you came from. But don't glorify your past. Glorify Him. I love movies. References. If you do, you already know what I'm going to say. Remember who you are. Remember that? Lion King? Right? Rafiki had to tell Simba who he was because he forgot who he was. Anyways, he didn't get it. I got it. I got Holy Spirit tingles when I said it. Here we go. This is the moment. This is the moment. We got first three verses, but this is the one. Everybody needs a verse four moment. Everybody needs a but God moment. We talked about being dead. We talked about the change that needs to happen. And here it is. But God. But God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ Jesus from the dead. Notice I said everybody needs a verse 4. Listen, we're talking about the Word of God here. These aren't good ideas. The Word of God is what is going to transform you. A good podcast isn't going to transform you. A good idea isn't going to transform you. The promises that God speaks over you through His Word is going to transform you. This is why I'm telling you, bring your Bible, get into your Bible, read the Word of God. Every week, the Word of God is what is transforming you. Not stories, not illustrations, not cute references to songs. The Word of God. Verse 4, but God. Verse 5, even though. Let's go to verse 6. For he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in heavenly places because we are united with Christ Jesus. It was all about what he did for us and we. Us and we. It's not a singular thing. It's about us together. Everybody has a story about God's grace and mercy. And everybody needs to have a but God moment in their lives. Listen, I want you to fill in your blank. I was filled with guilt and shame, but God. I was a liar, a cheater, a fornicator, an adulterer, but God. I was unlovely, unworthy, rejected, but God. I was. Fill in your blanks. All of us were those things. You need to write yours down. I was this, but God. And if you don't have your moment yet, allow today to be your moment. Let go of the walls that you've built up around your heart that are separating you from God. We were dead. We were enslaved. We were condemned. But in Christ, we are loved. We're free. We're alive. We're raised up. God changes things. God changes you. He doesn't just scrub you up and send you off and say, oh, we put some band-aids on some things. It'll be okay. It's all right. No, he changes you. He fully restores you. He didn't pay a cost for you and redeem you just so he could put some band-aids on it. John 5:24, red letters. Jesus is speaking. I tell you the truth. He's not lying. He doesn't lie. It's not in him. Those who listen to my message and believe in God who sent me have eternal life. They will never be condemned for their sins. Never means never. But they have already passed from death to life. Listen, I said it earlier. There is no condemnation for those who love Jesus. There's no condemnation in this house, but there is conviction. I hope that you're feeling a Holy Spirit conviction on some things in your life. Because there are things that need to change in all of our lives. Every single one of them. There's things that need to change in all of us because we're on a sanctification process. We should be becoming more like Jesus every day. You know, if I would have said, hey, Rick, I'm going to pray for you before I left, that wouldn't have been, I know it wouldn't have been a holy moment. I would have been being rude. But I'm going to pray for Rick now. My heart's in the right place. But church, I want you to catch this. John 5:24 is good news. It really is. Are you shouting the good news from the rooftops? Is the good news overflowing out of your life? Paul weaves three amazing words into Ephesians 2, 1 through 10. And those three words that I want you to leave with, knowing that you get to walk in a fully alive life with Christ, are mercy, love, and grace. Mercy, God has sufficient resources for us. Mercy is that you're not getting what you deserve. God's kindness, compassion, and pity extended to us. I love that. God's pity is extended to you. You know, too many of us, we want to have our own pity parties. Trust enough that God is throwing a pity party for you. I bet you he can throw a way better pity party than you can throw. Let him do it for you. You cool with that? Every pity party that I've ever thrown for myself is pretty boring, but I bet you God can throw a rager. What do you think? Okay. I agree with it. Grace. Getting what I don't deserve. Remember the statement earlier? What was it? How you doing?
Better than I deserve.
I want you to understand that now. Because you haven't gotten what you deserve. God's power to become the unearned, unmerited, undeserved favor of God. Grace is never so I don't have to. It's always so that I can. Grace empowers you to do something. Too many times in life, we look at the Bible as a do not do this list. Similar to the wonderful Riverside Park here in Pittsburgh. This park looks like a park that I would never want to go to. Let's look at all the things you can't do at this park. Can't skateboard. Can't rollerblade. Can't ride scooters or bicycles. No dogs except service animals. No fires outside of grills. No smoking. No alcohol or drugs. No discharging of weapons, so you can't shoot a gun or throw a knife. No golfing. I want to know what that sign got put up for. Somebody hit something with a golf ball. No vehicles. So how do you get to said park? Where do you park at Riverside Park? Permit holders have priority on facility use, and then they have their hours of operation. And just in case somebody gets frisky, they reserve the right to put another sign up at any given moment. And I believe they have space for four more. And just in case that sign was not clear enough, you can visit www.oakmontborough.com for the full list of ordinances at Riverside Park. And sometimes that's what we look at this book like. And sometimes we deliver it that way too. But when we fully grow into understanding and knowing that this isn't telling us what we have to do, but what we get to do when our life is fully alive in Christ, the growth is exponential. I want to grow, Pastor. 5 to 8 tonight, North Braddock. Growth track. That's how we grow. We get together as the church, us, we. We're going to start landing the plane. And I want us to get ourselves into a mindset where we're understanding that these last final verses, these last 3 verses, are the culmination of what Paul was delivering, not to correct, but to put into perspective what a life fully alive in Christ looks like. And why? Why God wants us to walk fully alive? Verse 7 tells us. So God can point to us in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of His grace and kindness toward us, as shown in all He has done for us who are united with Christ. God saved you by His grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It's a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we've done. So none of us can boast about it. When you decided to turn back from that no trespassing sign, went to the cross, what you received when you got there has nothing to do with you, but everything to do with Him. He paid the cost. There may be some Christians in this room that are going to get excited when I use this acronym, because they're going to remember it. Grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. Apparently, that used to be on bumper stickers and t-shirts and Bible covers. But I love it. It's such a clear acronym to help us understand what grace truly is. We get rich because Christ paid the price. He got the bill. And we get to run up the tab all we want. We're playing with house money, church. Grace is the basis for our power to deny ungodliness. Grace is the basis for our Christian identity. You want to know who you are? Understand grace. Grace is the basis for our standing before God. We're all going to stand before Him one day, and we're not going to get what we deserve. Grace is the basis for our behavior. I wanted to behave differently last night. I wanted to turn around and pick up my planter. Grace is the basis for our living, our holiness, our strength for living. grace is the basis for the way that we speak, the way that we serve. Grace is the basis for our sufficiency. Grace is the basis for our response to difficulty and suffering. Grace is the basis for our participation in God's mission. Grace is the basis for our future. And here we go. The culmination of our Divine Privilege series. Ephesians 2:10. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things He planned for us long ago. If we have accepted our position and we have had our but God moment, we've become the workmanship of Christ. We've become God's poem, His work of art, God's manufactured product. Together, it says we are God's masterpiece, not me, not you, us. We're a work of art. We're a piece of work. We're museum worthy. I'm talking white glove stuff. Don't touch that. That's my bride. So here's my question. Have you had your but God moment? Your moment where you went before the cross, received forgiveness because you repented and asked for it, allowed for the redemption process to happen, the cost to be paid for you. Have you been justified, redeemed, forgiven? And have you started that sanctification process? Have you received Jesus as the forgiver of your past and the leader into your future? If you haven't, I want today to be your day. And I just want you to slip your hand up and say, Jesus, that's me. I need you. Or maybe you need to rededicate your life to Him and say, I tried to run away, but I want to re-up today. I want to get back into the fold. I want to take my place as a part of the masterpiece again. Anyone at all today? Father God, I thank you so much for who you are and who we are as your masterpiece. God, I pray that every one of us would fully recognize our but God moments. And God, you would give us divine opportunities to share those moments with others so that we could win more people to the kingdom. God, I pray that as we prepare to walk in the Memorial Day parade, we would recognize that there are tons of people going to be sitting on either side of Lincoln Way that are waiting for their but God moment. Waiting to see somebody walking out love and mercy and grace and being an example of Christ. God, may we be a people that are examples of what it looks like to be fully alive in Christ. all the days of our lives. And God, I pray that each of us, as your church, would strive for you to point to us and future generations. And Lord, I pray that we would all run the race to win and finish well. In Jesus' glorious name. And everybody said,